What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Prospect Talk podcast. It is your man, Jared Wackerly with DynastyNerds.com, and I am joined today by someone you all know. You're familiar with him, Garrett Price. What up, Garrett?
How's it going, buddy?
It's going, man.
Dude, I don't know what it is. I know I'm not alone in this. I really just enjoy doing mock drafts. I've literally done three mock drafts today. Like, I hopped in a random one with people on Twitter. Yeah. And, like, I enjoy seeing, like, where people, you know, how they value certain players, whether it's startup or rookie. I think it's, even though it's a fun exercise, it's also a very valuable exercise just to kind of see where the valuations are in the community on certain players. So it should be a good time.
I agree. I actually haven't done many mock drafts so far this year. So this is actually one of my first rookie mock drafts I've done.
You got
personally
a leg up.
Yeah. And I've watched a lot, but I haven't done many. So today we're going to go through a 3-round super flex rookie mock for this 2022 class. And I feel like most people do like round one or two, but they don't really tap into round three.
And we'll go a little deeper.
Yeah, we'll go a little deeper.
I think we're smarter than the average bear. don't tell the other bears I said that. But
yeah, so you know, if you haven't, we have a free Dynasty Nerds mock draft app. You can draft these rookies now, and they'll actually sync with your leagues if you're a Dynasty GM member. So if you haven't yet, go to the App Store, Google Play Store, download the Dynasty Nerds mock draft tool, get it, check it out, do your rookie mocks, add to our ADP, and let us know how you do. Send us some screenshots. So we're going to get started here. We have a 3-round, like I said, super flex mock draft. Garrett, you want to take the first pick? You want me to go first?
You go ahead. I'll let you go. I know who you have liked over the process. I'm curious if this is still your top guy or not. So I'm curious to see who you take first.
Okay. I will go first. And the way we're going to do this is we're each going to take a pick. So it's going to go me, Garrett, all the way through 3 rounds. We're not going to hit on too much player analysis or else this is going to go way too long. Yeah, you're going to get a good feel for who we value, where we value them, just by simply where we're selecting them at. So I'm on the clock. I'm going to click start the draft here. And oh man, pressure's on already. Who am I going to select?
Is it a layup for you or no? Because I know that there's one guy you've really liked forever.
I know,
but and the narrative has shifted.
It has, and I'm gonna go with the narrative, and because I like him.
Okay,
I think you know who it is. He's gonna give us the rushing floor in fantasy football that we all covet, and he's gonna get taken in the first round. So I'm gonna go with Malik Willis from Liberty. I really liked what I saw from him at the Senior Bowl. It seemed like all the players out there were gravitating towards him. Gonna give us those rushing yards, like I just said. So I love Malik Willis, especially if he lands in Pittsburgh. And there seems to be a lot of smoke around that, but I'm not sure they're going to be high enough to take him.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's more than likely who I probably would have gone with too had I had the first pick. But it's really, really close. And I'm going to do something that's a little out of character for me. I'm a big like quarterback and super flex guy. Like I preach it, but also something I preach is you can't miss with your early picks. Like, you got to make sure you hit. And I think that there's only one player that I have supreme confidence in at this point that I do believe he's going to hit, especially at this point, regardless of the situation, where they land, all of that kind of stuff. And I think that player is none other than Breece Hall. So I'm going to take Breece Hall at 1-2.
I love it. I don't think there's any question that he's going to hit multiple times in his first 5 years in the NFL. I think he's probably going to get second round draft capital. So
I think so too. Yep.
All right. So I'm on the clock here with 1-3 and I'm going Kenny Pickett. This is an easy selection for me. Guy I've been high on for 3 years now, torched the ACC this year at Pitt. I really like Pickett. I think he can come in right away and you know what you're getting. The NFL team that selects them, they know what they're getting. He's able to change protections at the line of scrimmage, can make every throw, and he actually gives you a little bit of mobility with his feet, can make plays on the run. I think Kenny
What about
Pickett's
his hands, though, Jared? What about his hands?
Hey, he played at Pitt.
I'm just asking.
I know.
I'm just asking.
He played at Pitt. I hit on this in my last podcast episode. The hand size doesn't matter for me with Kenny Pickett.
Okay, so, I'm just checking.
Yeah, I know. He hit a soft spot there for me.
All right, so does that mean I'm up? I get to pick a 1-4 here?
Yes.
Oh man, so I'm in between two players. I mentioned earlier I'm a big quarterback early guy for the most part, and I think there's two quarterbacks here that both warrant this, and it would be much easier had the NFL draft already happened, but we're doing this pre-NFL draft. I like Matt Corral, but I also like Sam Howell quite a bit. I am going to go with Sam Howell at this point. And I know you're not the biggest Sam Howell guy, but he's the only one on this list that I can say year after year after year, we've seen high level of production. And he even had an awesome season this year, despite not having both talented, super talented running backs in Javonte Williams and in Michael Carter. They lost their deep threat in Dyami Brown. And that offensive line was really bad this season. Like, it was not a good offensive line at all. But yeah, he still put up really, really good numbers. It's not going to be the sexy, splashy, like, pick. I don't think he has as much upside as some of the other guys, but I don't want to miss here. And I think Sam Howell gives me the best opportunity to maintain value in this pick long term. And so that's why I'm going with him here.
Okay. I don't hate it. You know what the craziest stat from Sam Howell this year was? Is he had over 800 yards rushing.
That was crazy because he's not this crazy good athlete.
Yeah,
and he's not a subpar athlete.
He was recruited as a dual threat quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, he's a better athlete than we give him credit for.
Probably so. It's probably because we look at him and see Baker Mayfield because he looks just like Baker Mayfield.
He does. All right, so you went Sam Howell. I am going at 1-5 with Matt Corral. I got to take the quarterback. I got to take the quarterback. I'm not team building here. Obviously, we're rotating picks, so I'm picking independent of any of my other picks that I have here, and I'd be really happy of getting Matt Corral. That's the nice thing about this draft class this year. You know, we may not have the top echelon quarterback class, but I think we have four, maybe even five first-round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So when they get that first-round draft capital, that's all I'm paying attention to, and then I'm going to divvy them, you know, based on where they land, you know, what sure. kind of receivers that they're going to have around them, you know, where they land in general. I mean, if they land, you know, the New York Jets aren't selecting a quarterback this year, but I'm just using them as an example, because if they land in New York or somewhere like that, or even Cleveland. So, I mean, if you go somewhere like Cleveland or the New York Jets or something, it's just not a very stable organization, especially for quarterbacks. So, but if they were to go to somewhere like Pittsburgh, like that is a stable franchise. Then I'm going to move him around. So I like Matt Corral. I think he has all the tools. He can make plays with his feet. He can make any throw. I really love his moxie. I think he kind of brings that Baker Mayfield type attitude to the quarterback.
Only Sam
position.
Howell's allowed to be him. You can't compare Baker to two quarterbacks.
Yeah, they remind me of like their competitive toughness a lot. But I like Matt Corral. I'll take a shot at him at 1-5, especially if he's a first-round quarterback. If he's not a first-round quarterback, I'm not taking him in the first round at all. So
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Moving on. 1-6, Garrett, you are on the clock, sir.
This is going to be my struggle this entire rookie draft season. Do I take Treylon Burks or do I take Garrett Wilson? And I'm going to struggle with this till the day I die. Or until at least the NFL draft.
Please don't die.
Please don't die. Right now, I do think, just once again, I don't want to miss. So if I'm going for that, I'm going to take Garrett Wilson here.
I don't hate it.
I think Treylon Burks has the higher ceiling. He's definitely the superior athlete overall. But Garrett Wilson is so refined. He's the closest to a can't miss kind of prospect at the receiver position that we have in this draft. He's not at the same level as, you know, Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and, you know, like those guys, but I think he is very good and I think he is very stable. So I'm going to take Garrett Wilson here, but I said this on the Nerds podcast. If we were to do this 10 times, I'd probably take Treylon Burks like four or five of them. but there's just a hair more stability in Wilson. And so I'm going there.
I don't hate that at all. I love Garrett Wilson. He has the best ball skills in this class. I think he's a guy that's going to be a chain mover at the next level. You can play him inside. You can play him outside. You can throw the ball up to him. He runs great routes, has a great release package off the line of scrimmage. I think, you know, we have the combine right around the corner. I could see him running like a 4.5, 4.55.
I think so. In that range. I agree.
Great in the open field, makes players miss. I love Garrett Wilson. I think he's an extremely safe pick, so I don't hate that at all.
I am curious to see what his vertical is going to be, because do you remember that catch his freshman year against Clemson?
Against Clemson, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that was
unreal.
Absurd.
One of the best catches, like, in terms of, like, body control maybe ever seen.
Absolutely unreal. As a true freshman, too.
Yeah, and wild. I'll make sure we'll get that. Get a picture of that up on the screen for the video.
Yeah.
If you're just listening to this, make sure you go to the Dynasty Nerds YouTube channel, subscribe, check out the video. We have a lot of other YouTube content coming too. We just did a new series last night. We recorded it two nights ago, right? You, Rich, and I. Yeah. Dynasty Team Audit. We broke down a Nerd Herd member's team using a Dynasty GM tool. It was awesome. Check it out. Go to the Dynasty Nerds YouTube channel. I am on the clock at 1:07. You are leaving me with a very tough decision, and I don't like it at all. I came into this mock draft hoping that you were going to make this decision for me. I'm going to go running back.
Oh, I didn't think that's what you were going to do here.
I'm going to go running back, man. I love taking running backs in rookie drafts. Like,
yeah, it's a great time to get them.
It is, because they come in and they can produce right away. Wide receivers typically take more time, so they immediately have value typically, and first round running back, their hit rate is a lot higher than a first round wide receiver in rookie drafts just historically. So it's more of a can't miss type pick here. So I'm actually going Kenneth Walker.
Oh,
not man. Isaiah Spiller.
A little bit off the board, but here, I like it.
Dude, I have them neck and neck in our nerd score right now. I like Kenneth Walker. I mean, you know, I've been high on him since his Wake Forest days, and I was watching like Sage Surratt film, and I was like, who's this running back?
And we never liked Sage Surratt, for the record. Do you remember when he was in the first round of like NFL mock drafts?
Well, we did our film nerd session on him, and we tore him apart.
Yeah, we were like, why are people high on this guy?
Yeah, that's the Devy community in a nutshell, man. It's an echo chamber on Twitter. People get high on people for no reason and don't do the research. Kind of like Max Borgie. We tore him apart.
Oh, yeah. That was the same offseason. That was a rough offseason.
Yeah. Do your research, fellas. But Kenneth Walker, I there's not much he can't do. The one question mark is, can he catch the ball? You know, he only had 13 receptions this past year. His 2 years at Wake Forest, he only had three each of those seasons. So, you know, the times that I did see on film where he was catching passes, it didn't look like he's incapable of doing it.
I agree.
It didn't look like he was fighting the football or anything like that. So I think he can. Just not sure if he's a three-down running back, but I think he's going to be more than formidable for fantasy football purposes. He can run in between the tackles. He can beat you outside. He can make you miss, that's for sure. He's got some juice.
That's the biggest thing, yep.
He's got some juice. He's lacking that top-end speed, just like every other running back in this class, it feels like. So it'll be interesting to see how he tests next week at the Combine. But Kenneth Walker is my pick here, man.
Dude, he is the definition of shifty. The way that he can cut, and just everything is synced up from his vision to his feet. I have some concerns behind the line a little bit, but in the open field, he just has such a good feel for manipulating defenders. He's fun to watch. He's arguably the most fun watch of anybody in this class.
Yeah, he weighed in at 210. I'll be interested to see what he weighs in at the combine, but I mean, weighing in at the combine and what you weigh in at in September can be way different. Put too much emphasis on that, but that's a dude that carries weight in his legs. People just like fall off of him. So he's like he's a thick and very powerful 210. And I wish he would use it more often, actually. He tends to make people miss too much. I just wish that he would just put his shoulder down and run somebody over.
He doesn't like to run with power. It is interesting. Yeah. You would think he would run with power a little more, but that's not really his game. But as we move on to 1-8 here, I didn't expect the Kenneth Walker pick. And so at this point, I have to take Treylon Burks. Like, it's too far for him to fall. I'm surprised that he is still here.
I love him too.
You do. You're a big fan of him. And if I'm being 100% honest, like, he was even in my thought process when I was taking Sam Howell at 1-4. So he was part of that equation four picks ago. Mm-hmm. So this is a good example too. And this is why we do these. Even though I am low on this class, I don't think this is an amazing class. But specifically in Superflex leagues, there is still some value to be had in these this later part of the first round, because there's quite a few guys on here that haven't been taken yet, specifically at the wide receiver position. But we also have a running back that some people have as their top guy.
Yeah.
You know, so
guy I respect is, a ton. Our buddy, Ray, it's his RB1. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely players here. People are now starting to really fall in love with Drake London. Daniel Jeremiah recently mocked him at 7 overall in the NFL draft. So, I mean, like, there's still some players to be had here at this point. So, I think it's good to be aware of, you know, the strength and weaknesses of certain classes and which drafts are better and worse. And don't get me wrong, 23 is definitely better, especially in the first round, than this class. But that doesn't mean there isn't any value at all in this class. There are still good players. There are still players worth drafting here. So I want to make sure that I say that as we do this. But Treylon Burks, 1-8, fantastic athlete. Lots of comps to guys like A.J. Brown. Even he's a little bit taller than an A.J. Brown, too. Not the most refined player in the class, and that's going to be the big thing is, can he get more technically sound?
I think that'll be big for him next week at the Combine.
I think so, too. I think a lot of GMs are going to be looking for that. A lot of the scouts are going to be looking for that.
Yeah.
What kind of work did he put in between the end of the regular season and this point here in the,
can he
in
do
the
it?
Combine?
So he wasn't asked to do it. That's the thing.
No. No, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but he is definitely a potential home run threat at this point in the draft.
Getting Treylon Burks is crazy at 1-8, like you said. What are we doing? I mean, that's just how it is, though, because like we're projecting the quarterbacks that we selected obviously to be first-round picks.
Right.
You have to take them in Superflex leagues because of the value of the quarterback in the Superflex draft. You have to take them.
Absolutely. And there's a deficiency at quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of guys leave. You know, Ben Roethlisberger just retired. Brady just retired. Last year we lost Rivers and Breeze. Like, there's four starting quarterbacks that we lost just in the past few years. We didn't even have Deshaun Watson this past year. Hopefully he's going to be back this year. There's other guys that have fallen off. Cam Newton isn't relevant really anymore. You know, Baker's not where we wanted him to be. Ryan Tannehill's not where we wanted him to be. Like, there's a real deficiency at the quarterback position. And then we thought the saving grace was going to be last year's quarterback class. We thought, man, there's going to be 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks in here that are going to come and save the NFL landscape. And none of them looked that great. Yeah. I mean, you can argue Mac Jones had a good season, and I think there's a good argument to be made for that, but not for fantasy purposes, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was good for real NFL purposes. And Justin Fields showed flashes, Trey Lance, like all these guys showed flashes, but to say that I have supreme confidence in any of them like I did Burrow and Herbert going into their second year, it's eons different.
100% agree. All right, 1-9 on the clock. You know, I gotta stick with it. I gotta go to Isaiah Spiller.
Good pick.
This is just the draft this year. Getting Isaiah Spiller at 1-9, yeah, it seems crazy, but like we just talked about, we already took 4 quarterbacks, assumed to be first-round picks. I think that those are all very likely to happen. Breece Hall going early, very likely to happen. And then between Jameson Williams, Drake London, Treylon Burks, and Garrett Wilson, that's my tier one of wide receivers. Take them how you want. And personally, I would have Jameson Williams higher than all those guys. But I got to go running back again here. Isaiah Spiller, I really like him. Another guy that projects as being a workhorse, possibly a 3-down running back at the next level. He's got the size for it, 6'1", 215, 3-year starter in the SEC. Produced numbers all three seasons. He was in 2021, 1,011 yards rushing. 2020, 1,036 yards rushing. Basically had 1,000 yards. He had 1,000 all-purpose yards, let's call it, in 2019. So a guy that can do it all, catches the ball out of the backfield, can make people miss, can get his pads low, run you over. I like Isaiah Spiller a lot. He's lacking that top-end speed, just like every other running back in this class, like I said earlier. So real happy to get Isaiah Spiller here at 1-9.
No, I think it's a really, really good pick. And, you know, the running backs are really, really interesting in this class. For me, at this point, Breece Hall has really carved out that top spot. And it would take something drastic on draft day for him to not be my RB1. I think it's just clear as day for me. I don't care if he ends up being the third running back off the board. he's still going to be my RB1 most likely, you know, unless he ends up, oh, why is he in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
You know, unless something stupid like that happens, he's going to be my top guy. But once you get to Kenneth Walker, Isaiah Spiller, and then there's a litany of other running backs below him that I don't think are that far off. And it's interesting, Lance Zierlein was talking today, and this is kind of something that I've alluded to many times, even with some of my posts and things like that on how I've graded these players. There are a lot of round three type of running backs, like NFL draft round three running backs, round four. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys in that range that are good running backs, but not great running backs. And it's going to be this, like, pick your poison, what's your style, and some of them could really hit and be awesome, and others could be absolute duds. So there's a weird depth to this class because it's not deep at all at the high end. But when you're talking about potential running back twos and threes for your fantasy football team, there's a lot of guys that could eventually be in that kind of tier.
And I love taking those in my rookie drafts because if a guy goes down, running back is it's so easy to plug in, and you know they're going to get the volume. So those are guys that I can pivot off of, trade away if I need to, or I can use them to help win if I'm in that position. So 110. Oh, that's you. You're 110.
That's me.
Yeah, you're on the clock, buddy.
Okay. Over the past few seasons, it seemed like in Superflex drafts, this 110 area has been a sweet spot for wide receivers. We think back to 2019, you're getting guys like A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Debo Samuel around that range. I think 2 years ago, we were getting guys like Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman. And then in this past class, we were getting Elijah Moore. And, you know, like there's these past few classes, if you've had like this late first round pick, there's some value to be had. I don't know why I didn't say Jalen Waddle. Yeah, Elijah Moore, Jalen Waddle was usually the third or fourth wide receiver off the board. Like, there were value to be had here. And once again,
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of good ones. So, and I think it could end up being that way this year too. So we're looking at the third wide receiver off the board here at 110. And I'm going to go with Drake London. Drake London, former basketball player at USC. Big physical presence. We're talking about, you know, a legitimate 6'4", 6'5", type of wide receiver. And you see shades of his former teammate, Michael Pittman, in his game, where big and physical, but also loves to make things happen after the catch.
Yeah.
More athletic than you would think for somebody of that size. So I'm a fan of his, and he's growing on me the more I watch him. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's some finer things that he could clean up. You're talking about raw upside. He could be just a monster in the red zone.
Yeah, he's a guy that as like more all 22 continues to come out, or we have
access. I'm cutting him up right now.
Yeah, I've just continued to watch more and more, and I keep falling deeper and deeper in love with this guy.
This isn't Valentine's Day.
Yeah, sorry. I love Drake London. I actually had him at wide receiver one for a while coming into this process. Obviously, I've moved things around since diving in deeper and doing more analysis on the class, but I actually think Drake London would be really good out of the slot, which he was very effective for USC in 2020. So he has proven that he can play outside. He has proven that he can play inside. He's a great blocker, very physical. Like, he'll get nasty very with physical. You, just like Michael Pittman was.
They remind me a lot of each other, man.
Yeah, he's a mix with, like, Michael Pittman and Mike Evans, I think, is an easy one because they're both 6'5", but they actually have a similar game. Drake London's quicker than people give him credit for. Like, he's actually...
I agree. You see that basketball skill set.
Yeah, So I would love the Browns to get Drake London, man.
That'd be great.
As a Browns fan.
We could just get him the ball.
Yeah, right? So I love this pick, especially getting him at 110. So load up on these first-round picks, guys. If you have second-round picks in this class, try to trade up. Get into this first round. Get some of this top-notch talent in this class. All right, I'm on the clock here at 111, and I know you know who I'm taking here.
Yeah.
I have to take him. Jameson Williams, wide receiver, Alabama/Ohio State. Used to be a Buckeye, transferred to Alabama because, I don't know, nobody knows why he couldn't get on the field at Ohio State. Obviously, they had Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, all three studs, all three probably first round picks. So it's easy to see why maybe he didn't get on the field, but maybe Ohio State just didn't understand what they had, because he went to the SEC to Alabama and completely torched the SEC and looked great doing it. I mean, he's not just a deep threat. That's his strength, obviously. He's got about 8 or 10 different gears, it seems, that he can throttle down and hit and accelerate to.
Sure. But
I mean, he's got a good release package. He gets in and out of his breaks, and people obviously are going to give him a really big cushion just because of his speed. So that in itself just creates space. We see the NFL running a lot of these wide receiver screens. You know, Deebo Samuel gets a lot of that kind of work. So Jameson Williams is a guy that I am targeting in every single rookie draft and really hoping that I can leave with him, because I think he's the best wide receiver in this class. And this is the first wide receiver I've taken in the draft. And I thought I'd be able to wait a little bit and take him because of how I see people valuing him throughout the Twitter sphere. You just said it. He tore his ACL. So he's likely going to miss the first part of the season. But who knows? ACL injuries aren't like they used to be 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. People recover from them and they don't seem to miss a beat. I believe his doctors came out and said that he shouldn't lose any of his speed, any of his burst, which is really great to hear. Jameson Williams at 111. Lock it in.
All right. Last pick of the first round. And this is where things start to change. This is where things get a little bit different. The top tier running backs are gone. The top tier receivers are gone. The top quarterbacks are gone. So it leaves kind of this wide open, pick your poison, what's your style type of play here. And I'm going to take my second running back, and I'm going to go Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame here. It's interesting because at first I wasn't the biggest Kyren fan, but this has happened to me twice now in this class, and this is why you watch the tape, because I was not as high as the rest of the community on Breece Hall at first. And, you know, I thought it was going to be another thing like Javonte Williams last year where, all right, I'm just going against the grain again. Like, you know, I wasn't trying to. That's just who I saw was the best. When I watched the All-22, I became more and more impressed with Breece Hall. Same thing happened with Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame. The more I watched him, the more I really, truly dug into the tape. The more I really spent time watching him, the more impressed I became, because he's a much more physical runner than I think he gets credit for. Mm-hmm. And he can do a lot more between the tackles than I think people realize. They see the roughly 195 to 200 pound frame that he was playing with last year and just assume that he's not going to be able to do it at the next level. Well, we've actually seen quite a few running backs recently that have been a little bit slighter, that have had some success between the tackles. I know the most obvious one is Austin Eckler, but even guys like J.K. Dobbins and Miles Sanders are not the biggest running backs. They were weighing in at 207 and 205, and it wouldn't surprise me if Kyren came in close to that 205 range if he puts on some weight by combine time. But what he does best, he is one of the best pass protectors in this class, if not the best pass protector in the class.
I was ready to say that if you didn't.
No, he's absolutely fantastic there. Mm-hmm. I have one guy slightly ahead of him, but it's very, very
Damian
close.
Pierce
is third for me, so you're close. Okay, it's probably a guy you haven't watched yet. Devontae Price ended up getting the highest grade pass blocking for me.
And he did well there in those drills.
Yep, and part of it is he's 6'1". You know, he's got the frame to be able to go up against guys. Kyren Williams he's probably going to be like 5'9.5", 200 pounds. He shouldn't be able to pass block that well. Like, that doesn't make sense logically, but he does that so well. But when you combine that with his receiving ability, that could be huge at the next level. I mean, we're talking about a guy that you could absolutely split out as a slot receiver, and he could win in the slot too. It's not just, okay, screens here or, you know, outs there. Like, no, he can win in the slot too. So he's a guy that I think is being a little bit slept on, but could absolutely turn around in a year or two and be like, man, we missed out on Kyren Williams because that kid can play.
Yeah, man, I think you checked every box on the Kyren Williams scouting profile there. He's going to be on the field. It's a passing league, one of the best pass blockers. He can catch. He can make people miss. He's actually a pretty good runner in between the tackles. He shows good vision and strength. So I love it. Big Kyren Williams fan, too. He's in my top five running backs. So Love it, man. All right, let's head into the second round here. I'm on the clock at 2-1. Let's not spend too much time talking about these guys, obviously.
I'll do my best.
I know. I'll do my best, too. It was hard there. I am going to go. See, I'm on the fence here between two guys.
Okay.
And it's either the last quarterback that I think could get drafted in the first round, or I go wide receiver.
Okay.
So I'm going to go wide receiver. I'm going to take Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, nice. Penn State, 5'11", 190, probably has the best hands in the class. Him and Garrett Wilson are right neck and neck with each other in that category for me. For maybe not the biggest guy, he also has fantastic ball skills, just like we saw with Garrett Wilson. Great route runner. Reminds me of a little bit of like Deontay Johnson for Pittsburgh. So
I could see that.
Yeah, I like Jahan Dotson. I think he's got a great chance at being a very solid fantasy football wide receiver for us.
All right, I'm going to take a wide receiver as well here. And this is purely a ceiling play, but I'm going to take George Pickens out of Georgia. He coming into the year before he had his ACL injury, most people had him as 1, 2, or 3 in the class as far as wide receivers. And as far as like raw talent, he's probably the best in the class. It's tough with Georgia, though. Georgia just doesn't throw the ball much. So you only get glimpses of what he could be. But I really like him here. And once I get to the second round, I you know, especially even after like 1-6, 1-7, I abandon the safety net that I love early, and I'm all about the upside. Like, give me the upside. Yeah. And I think he has it.
I like Pickens as well. I'd probably take him next if I were to take a wide receiver. So I'm gonna go back to who I thought about taking before, and that is Carson Strong, quarterback from Nevada. So I love Carson Strong as far as arm strength, pocket passers go, makes checks at the line of scrimmage when you watch his tape. You can tell he just has a command of the offense. Now, he really made me scratch my head when I saw him at the Senior Bowl. He let me down a little bit. It just seemed like he was pressing. The arm strength really didn't pop for me like I thought it would. Malik Willis had a much stronger arm there in person. If he goes in the first round, I'm in. I'll take him. I might even take him in the back of the first round. So I'm taking him here with the understanding that he might go like 31 or 32. I forget where Detroit's second pick is.
They have 32 because they had the Rams pick.
Yeah, okay, 32. So I'm just kind of projecting him there. I've seen him go in a couple mocks in the first round. So Carson Strong for me, 2-3. You're on the clock, 2-4.
I'm gonna take the other quarterback, the one that I like a little bit more than you do, and we tend to agree quite a bit. This one we don't agree on as much, but I'm a Desmond Ridder guy. I like what I've seen out of Desmond Ridder. You're talking about a guy that's proven to be a winner over and over and over again. Really good athlete. We've seen the NFL emphasize athleticism more than they ever have at the quarterback position. And he has a very strong arm in his own right. It's the accuracy issues that are going to haunt him. Can he improve upon that? Because even his decision-making wasn't terrible, but it's just, can he be accurate enough? And that's really what it's going to come down to. If he can improve, then we're looking at a guy that could be an absolute steal at this point, but I could just as easily be lighting this pick on fire. So who knows with Desmond Ridder? He could easily end up similar to Jordan Love, where, you know, he sneaks into the first round as a project, or we could see him not get taken till end of day two, maybe even beginning of day three. Like, he has such a wide range of outcomes. None of those would surprise me, but I'm going to take the upside here at the quarterback position.
I don't hate Desmond Ridder. I just don't project him as being a first round pick. So I kind of push him back a little bit as far as my rookie analysis goes. But as far as super flex leagues, if he does get like even second round draft capital, I'd be interested in back of the second, even mid-second for like his prospect profile. He kind of reminds me of like Jalen Hurts coming out.
Exactly.
Like, same profile. Not the most accurate quarterback, but he's going to make plays on the ground. And he seems to have those intangibles just like Jalen Hurts did. He's a winner. That's all he's done at Cincinnati is win. So I like him. I think a team is going to take a shot on him. I just don't think in the first round. But if he does get the opportunity to start in the NFL, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts winning games.
Sure. I just hope he ends up being, you know, we see something similar to what Josh Allen did, where he can improve greatly on that accuracy and not be, you know, the next Terrell Pryor, where, yeah, he's a really good athlete, but he is not a quarterback. So that's what I'm hoping for.
All right. I'm on the clock 2:05, and I don't know what the hell to do. No, I'm just kidding. There's a couple guys here that I like. Especially for my style on how I handle my rookie drafts. So I'm going to go Rashad White, running back from Arizona State. I like Rashad White because he may be able to be a three-down running back at the next level. He's got the size. He's got the skill because he can catch the football. He caught 43 passes this past season. He's a JUCO guy. He was a three-star prospect coming out of high school. Ended up not getting any scholarship offers, so he went the JUCO route. He averaged 6.3 yards per carry throughout his career at Arizona State. So he can do it all. I like taking a shot on Rashad White here at 2:05.
He's interesting because he was one of the few players that I heard both one of the biggest winners and one of the biggest losers at the running back position, depending on who you talk to. Like, most people were either like, oh yeah, that guy was a winner, or oh yeah, that guy was a loser. I heard like very different opinions on Rashad White, depending on who you talk to. Like, some people thought he showed out really well. Other people thought he had like the worst week of all the running.
Really?
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it was the NFL Stock Exchange podcast.
Oh, okay.
I want to say it was Rodgers and Sycamo that were talking about, you know, that.
It doesn't
if not, it
might've
been the PFF guys. It was one of those two.
I'm not saying it doesn't surprise me because it's those guys. It doesn't surprise me because it was a running back at the Senior Bowl, and they were in half shells the whole week. There weren't any live periods aside from the one-on-one pass blocking drills. So sure, it was pretty hard in team period to get a feel for, you know, how these running backs are. So I'm just going to lead onto the tape. I like what Rashad White does. He makes plays with his strength, his lower body, but he can make you miss too. So he's got some shiftiness to him. I'll take him here because he projects as possibly being a three-down workhorse. Not a workhorse, but a three-down back.
Sure. All right, I'm going to take a player that could end up being a first-round pick that still hasn't been selected. That's Chris Olave out of Ohio State. His stock has seemed to fall some from last year and even from the end of the season. People don't seem to be quite as high on him as they once were. But I still see a lot of NFL people talking about him as the end of the first round, beginning of the second round type of wide receiver. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how all of these things play out, what happens with the narrative on Chris Olave. So, you know, there's some people that even think Chris Olave is better than his Ohio State teammate, Garrett Wilson. So
yeah, I think they're crazy.
I totally agree. But it'll be interesting to see how that whole situation plays out. But if you're telling me that there's a guy that's going to be taken more than likely within the top 50 picks, I'm probably interested in that player. And so give me a guy that's going to get draft capital in a passing league. And, you know, in the middle of the second round, I think that's worth the gamble.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be a first round pick because he's going to come in at the combine and run a 4.31.
Like, you think he's going to go that fast?
Dude, I think he's going to burn at the combine and people are going to be all over him. And yeah, people are going to get excited after his combine performance, especially in the 40.
I thought he was going to run around a 4.4, but if he starts to sniff that like low 4.3s, it's going to be sexy.
Yeah, I think he can move. So, and those Ohio State, I feel like every Ohio State player ends up running a faster 40 than we think.
That's true. Year. That does tend to happen a lot.
Yeah. So I think
I don't think Master Teague will run faster than we think.
Master Teague.
He actually didn't even get invited. Did you see that?
I'm not surprised.
He didn't even get invited. Another guy that was like mocked in the first round last year. Like, some of these mocks a year early, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, We never. I mean, we watch Ohio State every game, and we never said that Master Teague was good. All right, I'm on the clock. 2:07. What shall I do?
What shall you do?
You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Damian Pierce.
I knew it. I was waiting for I actually thought you were going to take him over Rashad White. I thought he was going there.
I probably should have because I have him graded higher than Rashad White in my nerd score. I had to pull it up, but I'm so freaking deep in doing all this film watching, I forget who I have graded where sometimes. Should probably be prepared for my own show, right? But no, I mean, Damian Pierce, you know, I love him. And he's got a weird profile because Florida didn't really use him enough. Only had 100 attempts this past year, 106 attempts in 2020. Only eclipsed 500 yards rushing in both the past two seasons. But he had 13 touchdowns this past year. So he's a guy that in fantasy football, I project him as being like that first and second down running back that might be coming off the field for third down, even though he can catch the football and he's a very good pass protector.
Very
5'9", 220. And
thick.
He runs mean. He will run you the fuck over. Actually, surprisingly, pretty shifty too. He's nimble. So I love Damian Pierce. I talked about him, I think, in each of the last two episodes. So I have no problem taking him here in the mid-second.
Yeah, I really thought you were going to take him at 2-5, so it doesn't shock me at all to see him go here. And I don't know if you saw Lane Zierlein's running back grades that he just put out. Did you see those?
No.
Guess where he had Pierce ranked?
5? 3. Wow.
He was tied. Well, he was tied for third with Isaiah Spiller.
All right, so yeah. I pull up my nerd score here, and currently I have Damian Pierce at running back 4. And to hear a guy like Lance Zierlein has him as high as I do, it kind of helps confirm what I'm seeing on tape because, I mean, Lance is a guy that's been doing it for a real long time at a high level. So,
absolutely. Well, another guy that Lance really liked came in 5th for him, and he's also my 5th running back right now, and that is Zamir White out of Georgia. Zamir White was the guy coming out of his freshman class. He was the top running back, went to Georgia, and unfortunately his senior year and his freshman year at Georgia tore his ACL, different ACLs, each knee. So there were a lot of people that were instantly just like done, like off of him, wanted nothing to do with him, wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. But then over 3 years at Georgia, he was actually incredibly productive. I mentioned it on one of my earlier videos, but there's only been 4 rushers to rush for over 2,000 yards during the Kirby Smart era at Georgia, and those running backs are Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift, and Zamir White. So that's pretty good company to be in.
Pretty good.
Another guy kind of like Pierce that profiles more as a 2-down running back. I don't see him being used on third down much at all, but good guy that could be like the lead back in a committee somewhere.
I agree. I love taking running backs here in the mid round, in the second and third round. They just have a higher hit rate.
Yeah.
They have a higher hit rate than wide receiver, and they're easier to predict when they're going to hit. They're easier to use. The guy in front of them goes down, you can trade them. I love flipping second and third round picks. So I'm on the clock here at 2-9. You know what's funny is David Bell is still here and how far he's fallen.
I know.
I'm not a big David Bell fan.
I'm not either. I feel like we got to take him before the second round ends.
But I don't care. I'm not gonna succumb really to what people want. I'm here to tell you what I think.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to take Christian Watson, dude.
I thought about him.
I'm taking Christian Watson. I love this kid. 6'3", 210. Might run a 4.3 at the combine. Might.
It's tough to find.
For how fast he is, he actually has very, very good hips. He can move in and out of his breaks. He's quick. He's not just like this straight line big guy, you know, kind of like Kevin White was or something. Sure. Actually has pretty good ball skills, and he's from North Dakota State. So he's from the FCS, way under the radar, obviously, and they're a run heavy FCS team. So they didn't throw the ball too much. But I mean, if you watch Trey Lance's film last year, he was the guy catching most of his deep balls down the field, making acrobatic catches. He tore up the Senior Bowl, was arguably the best wide receiver there. So he proved that he belongs, and he was a big riser. And when I got into his tape when I got back from the Senior Bowl, I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw. I like Christian Watson. See where I have him ranked right now. I think I have him right around like wide receiver 8 or 9. So, I mean, taking him here at like 2-9, 2-10 is pretty appropriate for me. And I'll swing on a prospect profile like his.
Yeah, I totally get that crazy upside there. For me here at 2-10, I already made my selection. I didn't even tell you. I already made my selection. I'm going to take the top tight end off the board. Okay. Trey McBride. That was the player I probably heard the most about out of Mobile was Trey McBride. Everybody was just oozing over how talented he was, how much better he was than most of the other tight ends there. The only other name that ever even came up was Ruckert, but it was the Trey McBride show. And
Charlie Kohler was pretty good there too from Iowa State. Was he?
Yeah. Okay, good, because I actually have him on a couple Devy teams, so I'm glad to hear that. But Trey McBride, this is one of the two tight ends that I think actually has a shot to be a first-round pick. I don't think it's necessarily likely, but when you look at a team like maybe Tennessee at 26, somebody like that, I could see them potentially going for a tight end. But even if not, I think both of those guys are going to be probably top 50 type of selection, so early in the second round. I like him a little bit more than Watermeyer at this point, but they're both really good prospects. So I'm going to grab him before he slips out of the second round.
I think it's a great pick. He can do it all for you. He can block. He can pass catch. 211. I'm on the clock here. I'm going to go John Mechie, Alabama.
Ooh, okay.
I think you know what you're getting with John Mechie. I think he is a very solid and polished wide receiver. He's strong. I think he projects more of like a slot receiver at the next level. So as far as being a fantasy producer for you, I think he's going to be more of a PPR type wide receiver, catching passes 5 to 6 yard range, turning them into first rounds.
First round. He's so good. He's going to give you more picks.
So another guy that got injured this year at Alabama, tore his ACL. So you'll have to wait on him, and he's likely to fall in rookie drafts, probably to right around this range. Definitely has the name factor coming from Alabama, so I could see him possibly going earlier. But I think this range here is appropriate for John Mechie and what he projects as being at the next level.
What is it with Bama receivers lately? You know, we had Waddle right before he came out, was injured. Now we have Jameson and Mechie.
Yeah.
Sketchy.
Sketchy Mechie.
Something to get. Oh, I like that. All right, last pick of the second round. Third round, we're not even going to talk about the guys. We're just going to make our picks and move.
Don't do it for the people.
I'm not. I'm taking my boy. I'm taking my boy here. Taking Tyler Beatty. Damn, out of Mizzou.
I was about to take him.
Were you?
I should have.
You should have, because he's gone now. He's mine. I really, really like Tyler Beatty. Talking about a player that is a weird journey to success, because he was basic. I even was talking to like some Missouri fans, and they're like, yeah, he was only ever used in the situations that it was like, oh crap, it's 3rd and 14. We're just going to throw a screen and like, maybe this guy will get us a first down. Like, that was basically all they ever did. We'll run a draw play on 3rd and 9 to this guy, and maybe he'll get us a first down. So we're talking like just a few hundred yards in his first few seasons. He was using the receiving game some too. And then they give him the lead back role, which is kind of surprising to go from very few touches just in third downs and big play opportunities to saying like, okay, you're a feature back now. But boy, did he reward them. Yeah. SEC running back playing for Missouri. So we're not talking about playing for Bama, Georgia, LSU. We're talking about like one of the lower tier schools in the SEC. Put up 1,600 yards. Like,
he's a machine. Yeah.
1,600 rushing yards in the SEC at Mizzou? That is not a school known for their running backs. This dude plays tough. Like, he plays with every ounce of weight that he has, which isn't a lot, but every ounce of weight that he has, he plays with. And he has some of the best acceleration out of some of these running backs in the class.
He's got the best burst in this running back class.
He's got my highest acceleration grade so far out of all the running backs. The only one that has a shot to touch him that I haven't dug deep into yet is Jerome Ford.
Yeah,
but
those two are the fastest guys in this running back class, I would say.
I'm guessing so as well. So Tyler Beatty, he's going to be my pick here at 212.
So let's move into this third round and wrap this up a little bit. And let's kind of go rapid fire a little bit.
We no analysis.
Yeah, we're just going to go too much analysis here. I'm going to go James Cook, because in the third round, I want a running back that may be able to have like a specific role in an offense. Mm-hmm. And I think James Cook offers that as a pass catching PPR type running back. And I love having those guys on my team. I think everyone does. Like, if I could get a JD McKissick in the third round, that can come in and produce for us in PPR leagues. James Cook is that type of player. So I'll swing in the third round all day for him.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to take Tyler Algier. I have some concerns about his vision, but when you're talking about size speed combination, he's one of the best in the class. One of the few guys this late that could project as a three down back. So I'll take Tyler Algier.
So you are going rapid fire here.
Yeah, man. I told you we're going fast.
I'll do it. I'm taking David Bell, and some of you may think it's blasphemous that he's still on the board here, but man, I am not a huge fan of him, but I'll take him in the third round for sure. I think he's probably going to get late day two draft capital, probably a third round receiver, in my opinion. He's produced every year at Purdue since he was a freshman. I think the data guys and the analytics people are really going to love him because he has that early breakout age, mm-hmm. had really great market share numbers at Purdue. Even when Rondale Moore was there, he was still producing. So, and he's got size. So I'll take David Bell there at 3-3.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's definitely worth it. He just doesn't have the home run that I want at this point in the draft, but I understand why you would take him there. So makes perfect sense. Sticking with the home run ability, I'm going to take Justin Ross, another guy that was formerly considered one of the top wide receiver prospects of this class. There were times where people thought he was better than T. Higgins, but some weird stuff with injuries. He's missed a lot of time. But if he can get back even close to his old self, this is a steal.
Yeah, the medicals will be huge for him, especially at the combine. I'm on the clock here. I'm going to go Jalen Wydamyer. I'm going to go tight end here.
Nice.
A lot of people have him as tight end one. I have him as tight end two right now. Great size. Can catch the ball. Can be a receiver. Can block. Taking a tight end here in the third rounds, those are the type of picks I usually make. So I'll take it. I think it's a pretty safe pick.
No, I love to load up on tight ends in the third and just hope one of them hits. I'll take Wandale Robinson. I do have some concerns about his size, but he is one of the most electric playmakers in this draft. So even though he's not somebody I'm banking on, once again, ceiling is there. So I'm just hoping that he gets anywhere near his ceiling.
I'm going to take Khalil Shakir at 3-7.
I almost took him. I wish I would have now.
I actually think he can come in and start right away in the NFL. You know, first impressions of him at the Senior Bowl, I was like, this guy's kind of slow. But then, I mean, as the week went on, drills went on, he slowly started to separate himself amongst the other wide receivers in this group. He has a great release package, and he seems to just make plays. I mean, you watch Boise State. If there's a play to be made, it's going to Khalil Shakir, and he's often making that play. He's a really good football player, came in with good size. I think it was like 6 foot, 190. So Khalil Shakir, keep an eye on him, write him down. I think this is a good pick. I actually think he's going to go higher than 3-7.
No, I think that's a good pick. Our buddy Ray GQ comped him to Amon-Ra, and so now I feel like I have to love him because I was a big Amon-Ra fan. So, but I remember watching him when watching some Boise State tape before. So I am going to take... I'm going to take Jerome Ford here. I mentioned earlier, I haven't done my deep dive on him yet, but everything I've seen, we're talking about a very explosive player, and he's shorter, but he's still pretty stocky. Former Alabama running back that ended up transferring to Cincinnati, had a really, really good season with the Bearcats this year. There are times where, you know, we mentioned Desmond Ridder's accuracy, where games where he was just off, and then they would just really lean on Ford to carry them the rest of the way, and for the most part, he did. So I'm curious as to how I'm going to feel about him as I dig in more, but a lot of people that I trust tend to like the guy. So I wish I had more analysis on him specifically at this point, but I do like Jerome Ford's potential.
Speed, baby. Speed.
Fast don't lie.
Yep. All right. I'm on the clock here, and I'm going to go with more of an upside pick in Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good size, 6'2". 195, good speed. He's another guy that looked pretty good at the Senior Bowl, and I'm going to stick with what I know. But I like what Jalen Tolbert can give you. He's got good ball skills. He's a down-the-field type receiver. So Jalen Tolbert, my pick here at 3-9. You're on the clock, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to take Charlie Kohler. You mentioned him, that you thought he looked pretty decent at the Senior Bowl. What I love about Kohler is he is just a monster of a man. Like, he is a big, big physical player. He's a guy that could easily line up at the end of the line of scrimmage, be an inline blocker. But he's got enough that you could flex him out, have him be a stand-up Y, do a little bit of stuff out of the slot. And I think he's effective enough. He's got strong hands at the catch point.
Great hands.
I don't know that he's ever going to, you know, have the upside of the Kelce's and the Ertz. And
never.
No. But I think he is one of those guys where he could be your tight end two, and he'd be a really solid tight end two for your fantasy football team for a long time. And I think he'll be a good starter on some real NFL team.
Yeah, and I think he'll be a really good red zone threat, man. He's a big player with long arms. And his hand, I think he's got the best hands out of all the tight ends in this class.
He might. He really might.
Yeah, his hands are sticky. Ball hits his hands, it's not falling. So I like it, man. He would be my next tight end to take two. So I am up here. I'm going to go Brian Robinson, running back, Alabama. Had a really strong senior year this year. I didn't like him as much the previous seasons, but, I mean, if you go back and watch his year, 2021, and obviously he's much bigger than everyone. He was older than everyone this year. He's one of the older players coming into this class.
It was like me in middle school, just bigger and older than everyone. Those were fun years.
So I'll take him here. I think he'll have a role, possibly. You know, I think he'll get drafted and be on a team and could be like a handcuff guy that the guy in front of him goes down, Brian Robinson's up, and you know they're not taking him off the field when it's time to score touchdowns. So a guy that you might be able to plug in your lineup.
All right, I get the last pick. I'm going to take the converted linebacker, Abram Smith, out of Baylor. Won the award for the best running back on his team at the Senior Bowl. Watching his tape, he's actually got really good feet for a, and we say converted linebacker. He actually came to Baylor as a running back, was a running back for the most part, then converted to linebacker, and then converted back to running back. So it's not like running back is this foreign thing to him, but he's a guy that's going to be able to play special teams without a problem. Like, he could be one of your best special teams players at the next level. And I know you're saying, Garrett, this is fantasy football. Like, I don't care about special teams, but it gives him an opportunity to be on the field. You know, you're going to hear me say that with guys like him, Algier, different players like that, players that can do multiple things, play multiple roles other than just hand me the football and let me run. That's going to be appealing. He was another guy that kind of came out of nowhere, had a massive year for Baylor. I was moderately impressed with Abram Smith, everything I saw. I don't think he's going to be one of the top five backs in this class, but I think he can do enough that he's going to be a really solid RB2 on an NFL team for a long time. But anytime the guy goes down in front of him, he's like, you'll be like, whoa, who just put up 115 yards this pass? Oh, is Abram Smith? Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, I actually haven't dug into Abram Smith or given him a grade yet. Obviously, I plan to. So at that point, I'll definitely give my analysis. I did see him at the Senior Bowl, but like I said, running backs were kind of hard
shells
to evaluate there. But I'm not. He didn't look bad. I mean, he looked good. He was voted the top running back in his group by his team members. So obviously, something's there. But that concludes our mock draft. Let's go back through it real quick here, just to recap. So round one, 1-1, we have Malik Willis, 1-2, Breece Hall, Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Matt Corral, Garrett Wilson, Kenneth Walker, Treylon Burks, Isaiah Spiller, Drake London, Jameson Williams, Kyren Williams. That is the first round.
Back-to-back Williams.
Yes. Then we head into round two, where we had Jahan Dotson go at 2-1, then George Pickens. Then we had a couple quarterbacks back-to-back here, Carson Strong and Desmond Ridder. Rashad White at 2-5, Chris Olave, Damian Pierce at 2-7, Zamir White at 2-8, two of our darlings in this class.
Yeah.
Christian Watson at 2-9, Trey McBride at 2-10, John Mechie at 2-11, Tyler Beatty at 2-12. Then we move into round three here at 3-1. I took James Cook. You followed that up with Tyler Algier. We have David Bell, Justin Ross, and Jalen Weidemeyer, tight end from Texas A&M. Wendell Robinson at 3-6. Khalil Shakir, Jerome Ford at 3-8. Jalen Tolbert, Charlie Kohler, Brian Robinson at 3-11. And the last pick here at 3-12 was Abram Smith, running back from Baylor.
That concludes it, man.
How are you feeling? What do you feel? I mean, do you have any takeaways from this?
You know, as much as I still don't know about this class, I look in the, and I feel like I do this every year, where I think I just do so much study on these players that it makes me start to like them more than I probably should. But like, I look in the third round, and I was like, there's actually some decent names in there. Like,
I know, I do that every year.
It's actually not that gross. So, but it, chances are, once you get past mid round two, everything after that point is a dart throw. So really just look for the guys that either can fit a specific role in the NFL and you know that they're going to be able to fill that role for a while, or just have crazy, crazy upside. If they don't have one of those two things, they're just not worth taking. That's why you might see some players that other people had a little bit higher that fell down our board a little bit. We just don't think they have the upside. Overall, I think we did a pretty good job. I don't think this is crazy far off consensus, but there's definitely a few interesting ones in here. You know, Walker going a little higher over Spiller, Burks falling a little bit. You know, we had the four quarterbacks go pretty early, but the other two didn't make it in the first round. So it was definitely an interesting mock draft. I enjoyed it.
I think so too. And Superflex just adds that variable that a one QB just doesn't. I mean, there's a lot of players that ended up falling because we took four quarterbacks in the first round. So
sure,
load up on those back end first round picks. You're likely to get some nice players there in this class, especially at wide receiver. In case you haven't yet, make sure you go to dynastynerds.com. Check out that film room. We're uploading a ton of all 22 tape almost every day now. I know, Garrett, you've been hustling with getting that stuff cut up. Shout out to Peter Bartoski. He oversees our film room, and he uploads everything and makes sure that everything is managed correctly in there. So we have almost 800 all 22 videos on these prospects. So make sure you go to dynastynerds.com. Use promo code WACK. That's WACK, promo code WACK, and you will get 15% off any membership level. So
you would have your own promo code.
Dude, I haven't even made it yet, but I know that I'm going to, after this episode airs, I'm going to go make it so that you guys can use it and sign up so that everybody at Dynasty Nerds can see that you guys are listening to J-Wack here. You're listening to my analysis.
Came to this video for me. Come on.
That's true.
It's not.
Dude, my ears are so red. If you're listening to the podcast, go check out the video because my ears are on fire. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me.
Bro, they look like the Kool-Aid Man.
I don't know, dude. They're just beet red right now.
They really are.
But no, appreciate you guys listening, Garrett. Appreciate you hopping on.
Absolutely, man.
You're obligated to. We're on the same team, buddy. Kind so of. Gotta get this content out there. People want to hear what we have to say, man. We do the Nerd Score at dynastynerds.com, and I mean,
you just recently won the crown of like the best, you know, pre-draft, or no, it wasn't pre-draft. Yeah,
it was
pre-draft
post-draft teams, right? Ranks. Post-draft. It was post-draft ranks for that.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of analytics guys in there. And obviously, when you use data more, you got to have that draft capital in there to finish out your model. So shout out to David Zach. He put together a list of analysts to rank last year's rookies after the draft. And yeah, I ranked first according to his formula. Yeah, and I mean, our nerd score, David Zach ran that, and we performed better than actual draft capital. So obviously, we're doing something right, man. We're on the right path here. So
love it.
Go to dynastynerds.com. Use promo code WACK, 15% off. Check out that nerd score. Check out that film room. And we got a lot more coming for you. So until next time, we out of here.